Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
Why, hello there, and welcome back to, yes, you guessed it, the worst year ever. My name's Katie Stoll.
That's wild that you are that person's name. I'm doing well. I'm going to start this again. I'm going to respond to Katie a different way. Oh, God.
Should we start the whole thing again?
Yes, no, no,
please.
No, we never restart anything.
Do not listen to Robert. Nobody listens to Robert.
That's the only thing we agreed on when we started.
I don't trust
this
fucking haircut. I don't trust
Once we start introducing an episode, we never go back.
Well, I'm sorry,
only
what?
Forward.
There's no editing in podcasting, you guys.
Relentless. What?
There's no editing in podcasting.
There's no editing in podcasting. We just have to keep moving forward.
Also,
like the Marines on Omaha Beach.
Here,
or whatever guys were
here,
on
Katie,
Omaha Beach.
Like, mm-hmm.
Whoever was on Omaha Beach.
The podcasters on Omaha Beach.
Yeah.
So what Katie was trying to do was to get Cody, who is a co-host, and Robert, who's a co-host, to say their names, but, you know.
It didn't happen.
Here we are. Katie?
But
we're
off can
the rails
happen.
Real early, and apparently we're not resetting.
Nope.
Daniel, do with this what you will.
Hi, Daniel.
Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the podcasting editor's job, Daniel.
I'm joined here today with my co-hosts, Cody Johnston and Robert Evans, and our producer,
Hi.
Sophie.
Hi, like, these are
I,
our voices.
Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, yes, you did. You got it correct.
I just realized that's something that I always read and don't
no,
say
it's actually
Warst
Yar Arvar.
That's
Katie,
fair.
get it right. Come on.
I'm
welcome back
really
to the Warst Yar Arvar. And
this is not a good
I'm
intro.
Cody, and this is Katie, and Robert is here, and Sophie is here as well. And we're just going to talk so much about so many things today that it was hard for us to even come together with a consensus on how we were going to start talking to you, the listeners.
For example, yes. I completely disagree with how this has gone.
Look, but
so
you know,
far.
in the middle of an unprecedented surge of authoritarianism worldwide, the best thing this podcast can do is be a shining example of the powers of democracy.
Yeah.
And in this case, it means several minutes of introduction before even saying the name of the show that this is.
No clear leader emerges, not like a solid direction. You,
yeah,
the
well,
listener.
Once the disaster hits,
right.
Then Katie takes over with an iron fist and sends in federal troops to set up sniper's nests on the roof of buildings overlooking protest camps.
So you saw my notes, huh?
Yeah, I did.
But for now, there's democracy and equality on this podcast where we're all equal partners, is what?
But you can see the light starting to go out.
You can see it. It is the worst year ever. This is the podcast. Katie, you want to talk about stuff and not do another intro?
Yeah, so... I do. Guys, a little transparency up top. the world is chaos.
It's not doing great.
It's awful. And it's like, so hard.
I think we're nailing this metaphor.
Yeah. The president just declared basically war on the city I live in.
So that's cool. A fun development.
Again,
for
it's for
right
law.
Now.
It's for law and order's sake, Robert. Like we go over this and over this. He wants to take law and order to where you are. Okay,
mm-hmm. It's I know
not
because
complicated.
And before his law and order, there were no sniper's nests on the roof of the federal courthouse, and now
it's
there's snipers on the roof of the courthouse.
Interesting
so that's good.
How that happened
exactly.
But it's
your tone makes me think maybe you think that's bad.
Whenever
I have
we
mixed feelings about snipers.
Oh, Jesus. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Whenever we sit down to decide what we want to talk about each week, it gets increasingly difficult because you're like, there are so many things that we could talk about. And I'll just say, personally, for Cody and I, we also have even more news. So at the beginning with this show, of course, we had a specific purview, which was to be talking about election-related things. And obviously, that has changed out of necessity.
Who gives a shit about the fucking election?
Who cares about the election? I mean, I care about it. But, you know,
yeah.
And so it's always like an interesting negotiation of like, what are we going to cover in each episode? But our dear friend Robert has-
Let's cover the
as
polls.
As you guys it's like, know, been covering the protests in Portland really intensely. It's been traumatic and dramatic and- doesn't look like it's going to stop being that way as per
46
what we just
days,
talked
baby.
About. So today, Cody actually came up with this idea, is that we are going to kind of go through a lot of news headlines and kind of fill Robert in on stuff that he's missed or might have been aware of peripherally. And you know, we're going to keep it kind of fun and loose because nothing's fun or loose right now. Does that sound fun? I think I've emerged as the leader here. I don't know.
Yeah, you have. You've violently taken power and sent in your shock troops to enforce order. And your shock troops in this case are Cody?
And if you didn't and if you didn't smile at
keep
Katie
it down,
saying,
Robert. Katie is talking.
Loose, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Also, you're listening to this, so you couldn't have seen how not fun and not loose I was as I said it. But I felt my whole body tighten as I said fun and loose. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Your hair stood on end. It's wild. Mm-hmm.
But that's normal. That's par for the course for me these days. We should probably start by just mentioning that coronavirus is still a thing, very much so. It's a problem, I'd go so far as to say.
Yeah, get out of here, coronavirus. Go on.
It's frustrating. We've Scram. Got over 130,000 deaths, 137,000 deaths, but that's just the low ballpark number. We don't actually know. And America's failing miserably. We're mm-hmm. embarrassing mm. compared to other countries.
The unfortunate reality is that this is what it looks like when a civilization dies. That's what we're seeing in the United States and worldwide. And there will be some areas that weather this for a while. But most of us won't.
Are you suggesting that we're an empire in decline?
No, I am suggesting that we are a global civilization on the edge of a cliff. So people should learn how to garden.
Yeah, Robert's growing some
practical advice.
Squash.
Yeah, pick up. My squash is doing fucking amazing this year.
Counterpoint.
I
Robert.
Hate squash.
Counterpoint.
Squash is delicious.
Hamilton's on Disney Plus.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Finally watched.
Do that instead of the gardening, the survival stuff that you were talking about how learning to live in a new world. Just watch Hamilton. Yeah. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes long. You can just like tune out. It's great.
That does sound nice. You know what? I'm changing my advice. Watch some Hamilton.
There you go.
I do recommend doing it.
Burn your garden down.
It's pretty catchy. But let's talk a little bit about the responses we're seeing this week with coronavirus. For example, Monday, Trump retweeted a conservative conspiracy theorist and former game show host Chuck Woolery.
Yeah, he did.
God, I love the things we get to say these days.
With a tweet that reads, "The most outrageous lies are the ones about COVID-19. Everyone is lying. The CDC, media, Democrats, our doctors, not all but most, that we are told to trust. I think it's all about the election and keeping the economy from coming back, which is about Amazing. The election. I'm sick of it. I'm also Amazing. Sick of it. I'm sick of that bullshit.
So good.
Also, it's important to know that this is just after Trump has started very openly distancing himself from Anthony Fauci. Apparently, he hasn't met with Fauci since June. And then last week on Fox News, on Sean Hannity.
Why would he need to meet with the nation's head doctor during an epidemic?
What he has to do is go golfing a bunch.
Yeah, well, of course. And send federal troops into Portland, Oregon. To shoot.
Well, yeah, but
trash
again, only if law and order is needed, Robert. Like,
well, somebody slightly burnt some plywood on the side of a building, so we need sniper's nests now. Sorry, my head is in a specific place.
Nope, that's why we're telling you about other terrible stuff. It's okay. This is part of the therapeutic process. You are allowed to vent about the stuff that's happening. We're here to help guide you through this. I don't know. Oh. I'm not a therapist. I was just trying to say that Trump flat out said that he disagrees with Anthony Fauci. When Fauci had said the country's not doing well, he said, "I disagree with him." And another interesting little fun tidbit this week that Sophie also brought up before we started recording, Ted Cruz, our buddy Ted, was photographed at the airport, like in the terminal, and also on an airplane, an American Airlines flight, without a mask.
Ted Cruz, who's been quarantined twice for his exposure to the coronavirus.
Twice.
Amazing.
I mean, it's wild. It's wild. So American Airlines is now looking into it, reviewing the details of this matter, because their policy is opposite of what Ted Cruz did. Spokesperson said he just removed the mask while eating or drinking, but that's not what we see in the pictures.
No, he's not eating or drinking anything in the pictures, nor is there a mask visible.
Exactly. So
also, like, I don't trust Ted Cruz to do literally anything. So why?
He can cause some Twitter beefs. He can do
that.
Oh,
yeah. Ted Cruz is the worst. I've got a... So let's talk about Ted Cruz for a moment. We can get back to like the real serious news. But one of the things I think that we've lost a bit in this show, The Worst Year Ever, is all the stuff that was happening before these wild crises emerged. Because, you know, the original show, that's The Worst Year Ever. It's going to be bad for Trump's going to hate it. His opponent's going to hate it. We're going to hate it. Republicans are going to hate it. It's going to be bad for everybody. All the culture war stuff, everything's so stupid. It's going to get dumber. And it did. But also there's this pandemic going on. But that stuff is still going on. That stuff is still happening. Ted Cruz spent like 2 days tweeting about Goya beans. Robert, have you heard about Goya beans lately?
I sure have. I don't know. If I make another comment, it's just going to be about that sniper's nest. So I'm just going to kick it back to you, Cody. Yes, I heard about the fucking beans.
This is kind of the point, though, right? Like, the CEO of Goya was like, "Trump's good." And then all these libs are like, "Ah, oh, we're going to not buy Goya beans anymore." And then all the conservatives came out like, "Well, we're going to only eat beans now. We're gonna buy Goya, and I'm eating beans right now. I'm brushing my teeth with beans." And then like
meanwhile, all of the systems that make our lives possible are like slowly being eroded, and in some cases
crumbling
rapidly
before our very eyes.
Yeah, and everyone's ignoring. Like, yeah, there's news that the San Andreas fault is much likelier to go off soon than people think. We're like on the cusp of wildfires, the likes of which the planet has never seen. But yeah, the fucking beans. Let's all talk about
the beans.
I mean, wildfires where we don't. I mean, we grotesquely use prison labor to fight wildfires,
yeah.
But there have been some. There's less prisoner work. The whole thing's fucked. The whole thing's fucked.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not going to send a bunch of, prisoners with COVID to fight the fires, are we? Because that's where they're getting it. I mean, yes, we are going to do that.
But they act like
we are absolutely going to do that.
Of course we are.
But it's stupid because they act like this is like a liberal thing to like cancel a brand when they did the same thing with
Ted Cruz has done it repeatedly.
Yeah, they did the same thing.
They were destroying their fucking Keurig machines a year ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Burning their Nikes.
Yeah, so Ted Cruz is obsessed with beans because he's a United States senator and there's nothing else going on in the country, let alone his state that he's a senator of. So he's really just like leaning into the culture war stuff. This tweet is really, it's like fascinating to me. James Woods, of all people, speaking of Chuck Woolery and like old cranks who like have no grip on reality, James Woods tweeted about the Goya thing. And then Ted Cruz is like, Goya is a staple of Cuban food. My grandparents ate Goya black beans twice a day for nearly 90 years. And now the left is trying to cancel Hispanic culture and silence free speech by Goya. So, like, a few things about this. Goya wasn't, like, hasn't been, like, around for as long as Ted is intimating. nor was it available to his grandparents in Cuba during that time. The whole thing, it's just a mess. It's just a mess of, like, weird lies and, like, half-truths about, like, oh, they ate beans twice a day. They fuck on beans! And, like, it's just fascinating because also, like, the claim that the left, by boycotting Goya, which we can, like, discuss how silly that is and how it's not, like, whatever, boycott Goya if you want. Who cares? Like, donate Goya to people who need it. Whatever. This is like cancel culture. Boycotting is cancel culture. And boycotting is silencing free speech. Despite, again, like you're saying, like literally calling for boycotts on the NFL, calling for boycotts against so many things throughout his career. And it doesn't matter. And it's so frustrating of like, I guess this is the part of the worst year where we just like call out hypocrites into the void again, still, and nothing matters, and it doesn't change anything, and he's still gonna do this, he's still gonna go on the plane, and he's still gonna not have a mask on, and someone's gonna point out how he's a hypocrite because of that, but it doesn't matter, because this year is just the worst, and I'm just fascinated by the bean stuff, because it doesn't matter, it's pointless, it's silly, it's stupid. And it's like all the culture war stuff that's been bubbling over and getting dumber and dumber has continued to get dumber and dumber. But, you know, the pandemic.
Yeah. Speaking of the pandemic.
Oh, no. Katie's been taken by the conspiracy.
Apparently,
Florida reported more than 15,000 new cases on Sunday.
Fuck yeah, Florida. Hell yeah.
That's what they say, though. That's
number
what they
one
want
in the country,
you to believe.
Which is number one in the fucking globe.
I like
We're
how
so
America...
good at bikes.
America is the Florida of the world, but Florida's still the Florida of America.
Seems like a great place to have the NBA return back to, right? That seems like a good decision.
Absolutely.
Seems like
or
a
great place to...
No, fuck. We need to
Disney
mandate
world.
Everyone in Florida immediately go on a maskless vacation to another random state and then just pay for that with, I don't know, the education budget of this nation. Just send them all over the place.
Speaking of that,
spread it around.
Let's talk about the education budget. Because Trump last week, we mentioned
Donald
this
Trump?
Briefly on Even More News. Yes, Donald Trump, the president.
Donald John Trump,
of
yes.
Florida. These states of United States of Florida, he threatened to take away school funding if states chose to not reopen in the fall.
I love the president threatening schools.
So, but like we can use that money to fund Robert's idea, is my point. There's a lot to unpack here with the school conversation because it's not an easy one to have. But one thing we know is that not every place can return to school in the fall. it's just not realistic, feasible. Maybe it could have been if we'd had a different response from his administration. But we are not in a place where we can safely have students or teachers or administrators back in all communities. And this affects everybody. But, you know, people with means – we'll have the luxury of doing homeschooling. You know, this definitely impacts low-income communities more. There is the same question that we had at the end of last school year. It's, you know, how can parents work if their kids are at home? How do you work and balance your child's education? You know, there's the impact on them developmentally. But I don't think that there's enough of a conversation about the teachers, you know, how forcing them back to school will impact them. They're being paid not a living wage already to come in and risk their lives. And like, what about the psychological impact on students if, say, their teacher gets sick and died? How do you educate that classroom of students? You're going to get a substitute to come in when coronavirus might be spreading around. Also,
and like, also be like, hey, kids, the teacher's dead because of you being here, like, because we're all here. Like, how do you move forward from that?
How do you move forward from that? And I get it. It's hard. I mean,
teachers are also literally getting it while discussing during how to do this.
Yeah. There's a fucking Reddit post that was some 24-year-old, and I think it was Indiana, talking about how, like, they're going to be opening the schools again, and, like, we've been told that we can't even require the kids to wear masks. Like, all you can do is strongly suggest it. And so, like, the whole post was him asking for advice on, like, how do I set up a will? Because I want to make sure that my house goes to my spouse if I die from this, because I think there's a good chance I'll die from this, because I get sick every year when the school starts again. And, like, I know that's going to happen with COVID, and I don't know that I'll make it. And it's like, that's a fucking teacher. Like, they shouldn't be
It's my sister-in-law is a teacher, and I need to get on the phone and have a bigger conversation with her about it. But we were just texting today. She's scared. And part of the problem is it's also going county by county in different areas. So, like, but for example, here in LA, we just got the announcement that, you know, we would still be doing remote schooling starting in the fall. Orange County, however, does not want that. In Northern California, where my sister-in-law teaches, her county does not look at this point that they are pushing for remote learning, but counties around her are. And it's a strange dynamic for them within teachers, and, you know, like, because it's not that much different from one county to the other. It's wild the way that they're making these decisions. But she's also saying, you know, and she shared an article, a lot of teachers are choosing to retire rather than return to teaching in the fall.
Yep.
And so what is that impact on our education system?
And if they refuse to teach, are there several states where they'll lose their pensions?
But I mean, yeah, that's like the whole, like, they're willing to give those things up because of the situation they're being forced to go into. Like, even my mom works at with elementary school kids. A lot of people that work at these schools are, like, in that at-risk range, age range. Like, you have all these kids, they're, like, Robert, you're saying, like, yeah, it's not mandatory. You can politely request that they wear masks, but they're also kids. And so you're worrying about not only, like, all these kids interacting with every single adult at the school, but then going home and interacting with their parents. You don't know what their parents are doing. It's such a messed up situation where, like, it's the same thought process for, obviously, schools are more important than being able to go to Dave and Buster's, but, like, it's the same thing. Like, you're putting all these people at risk that work there. Like, all these, like, people in the service industry and, like, everyone that has to work right now is being put at risk. And we're just, like, trying to pile on in this. I don't know.
That's the whole point. You're right. And what's frustrating and not surprising but demoralizing is that we don't seem to learn at all throughout this, right?
Well, no, that's the one thing countries. America never does.
Well, because apparently, we can't go to school, Katie.
Yeah.
It's because the schools are closed.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, we've had, like I just said, in spring, a lot of parents were just trying to make it to the summer. They were just trying to make it to the summer and get through this. And we all saw that we resoundingly failed at the homeschooling experiment. There's a lot of reasons why. There's a lot of things that have to be worked out, and we understand that. But, you know, the hope was, like, okay, we get a grip on the virus over the summer. Also, we start to develop contingency plans. We start to work out how to approach this differently.
No, we're just going to culture war about it. That seems
like a better idea.
Heck,
I mean,
yeah.
That's all we ever do in this country.
We're so good at culture wars. No other country culture wars like us.
America first, number one. America number one at culture wars.
Although I did see an article today about a French bus driver that was beat to death after asking that people on the bus wore masks.
Yep.
So,
well, you know, every now and then another country's going to try to compete for the two slot, but I feel pretty comfortable with that.
Oh, yeah. America first. America number one forever. We rule the culture war. We're going to die the most. Thank you very much.
I think it's safe to say that we set the bar here in Florida. Yeah.
You know, we have to leave room for, like, Dan Crenshaw to accuse Tammy Duckworth, a veteran, of trying to destroy America.
A veteran who lost her legs in combat.
Who lost her legs.
In combat.
And she wants to destroy America, is the thing. That's the line.
I think...
There's a tweet I saw recently that was just, starting to think forming an entire society around legal and semantic loopholes might have been a bad idea. And that's really, like, the thing that comes to mind most in this, because it's this, like... Like, that's the thing that the mask stuff turned into, is, like, people cutting holes in masks, people, like making purposefully shitty masks, like, just because they didn't, like, this reckless disregard for the fact that there are some things that you should just do, because it's the right thing to do. And, like, no, fuck you, this is America. And if I'm supposed to do something, the right thing to do as an American is find a way to not do that thing without getting in trouble. Like, that's the whole—that's the entirety of our society.
Yeah, it's all—it's like it's just like the debate nerd troll stuff.
Yeah,
just like heightened to a level that is literally a matter of life and death.
Yeah,
as opposed to pointless online bullshit.
Yeah, we should purge our society of debate nerds.
Speaking of that,
yeah,
it's time for an ad break.
Goya. Oh, okay, that's fine. That's fine too.
Cool. Here's that ad.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back from that ad. Very cool. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Buy the products or boycott them. I don't know. Whichever side you're on. Who cares?
So we were
Use
just
promo
talking
code boycott. Sorry, Kate.
We were just talking about, you know, school stuff in that complicated conversation. Let's talk about this new rule, this Trump administration announcement last week that international students can't stay in the U.S. if schools are not operating in-person classes, basically making them a pawn in his push to reopen the universities in the fall. Unbelievable. 17 states have filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration, against this rule. I believe 50 universities, including Ivy League schools, have joined in. Oh, God, but it's wild. This is just, I guess it's not another one of those things that's not surprising, but is just kind of a gut punch. Because also, we're having historic numbers of international students. Also, we're having historically low numbers of international students here, even without this development. This is according to the Washington Post. Quote, the desire to study in the United States has flagged since the start of the Trump administration. Before the 2016 presidential election, the number of Indian students was growing annually by double-digit percentages, but the growth rate fell sharply in the 2017 to 2018 and 2018 to 2019 academic years.
That makes sense.
But this
sense.
Is just
that
sending so many people reeling. Also, you're trying to make people travel internationally during a pandemic? It's
yeah.
just, it's grotesque.
We gotta get him out or whatever. Whatever reason. It's like, do whatever. It's gotta.
I think that there's going to be a lot of effort from schools. Obviously, this lawsuit has been passed, and you're seeing, you know, people at different institutions scrambling and you know, maybe making one technically in-person class that maybe people don't have to show up to. You know what I mean? To try to circumnavigate the rules. But it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, loopholes. Loopholes to help people.
Loopholes, baby.
Instead of loopholes to cough on people.
Yeah. That's an appropriate reaction, Robert.
I'm so tired all the time.
I know. Sophie, you wanted to rant about Betsy DeVos a little bit?
She's a monster. She doesn't know how to answer a question. She's incompetent. She's an evil, 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 evil person and should not have the job she has. And she's causing so much harm to our education system. Every second she's employed as the Secretary of Education, bad things happen. Evil woman.
Yeah.
Shame on Donald Trump for hiring her. She's so not qualified and is damaging our children.
Yeah. It's remarkable the amount of harm that she and her brother have done to the world.
I was going to say her brother.
Truly a case for, I'm just going to say it, tremendous random violence would be useful. I won't be more specific than that, but I'm very angry.
Yes, very
well,
angry.
Well, you said random, so that could be anything.
Yeah, you know, random source.
It could be like an ear flick, you know?
Yeah,
that's random violence.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, that's a good way to not
of those two.
Be legally inciting anything.
Just go and like give her hair a good yank.
Yeah,
evil.
Cody, about what anarchists used to do in the early 1900s and late
1800s. A solid hair yank.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of hair yanks. That's William McKinley. President McKinley got his hair real yanked.
Yeah, he was real childish at flirting.
Yeah, Archduke Franz Ferdinand got some fucking hair yanked pretty hard.
It's better than a wet willy. Yeah, I'll tell
he was
that.
A wise guy. Got a lot of Three Stooges stuff going on there.
Cody, I know you gathered some some news items you wanted to go through as well?
Just a couple of things. You know, there's news, and then there's, again, I'm like, there's a lot of, there's so many things that's like, this is the news, right? And then there's so many things you're like, this is the dumb stuff we were talking about. This is the stuff that was going to make this year so bad. And like, we don't even need to talk about Roger Stone that much. It's a thing that happened. Robert, you don't care about it. And this episode is for you and informing you. But I'm already seeing prominent people, one of them including Hillary Clinton, literally using this Roger Stone commutation to warn us about Russia interfering with our election.
Excellent.
This commutation of his sentence tells us that Putin is in charge, and it's just a wild thing to say. Not that like Russia isn't a thing and around, but my gosh. Tucker Carlson's racist head writer was fired. Did you hear about that, Robert?
I did hear about that. I'm surprised that he got fired, because it would seem like his entire job was to do the thing that he got fired for, just to a massive audience.
Right. You'd think like his actual application for the job would have like boxes like, are you like secretly racist? Check the box. And okay, good.
I assume getting hired by Tucker Carlson, like the job interview is, can you reach orgasm while lying on your back on the grave of a Waffen SS man?
Exactly.
That was my assumption. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you say the 14 words when you come?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. You're hired. Great. So yeah, just little like stuff like that. That's like that. It's still going on. We're also in a pandemic. This is also originally an election show. You know, there is an election going on. I don't know if anybody remembers this.
Barely.
But we can possibly have a different president in a little bit. And that man's name is Kanye West. No, just kidding. It's Joe Biden.
Jesus fuck.
I don't want to engage in the Kanye
West conversation. We will not be engaging in the
discourse. I will say this. We talked about it last week on Even More News briefly, just the right amount of time with our guest, Joel Leon, who's amazing. And I think that he handled that conversation the best when saying, did we all forget that Kanye is bipolar, that struggles from, you know, a lot of, you know, instability. He's had breakdowns, and apparently he has been going through a bipolar episode, and his family and friends are worried about him. So let's stop giving weight to that conversation, or even jokes about it, you know, because this has had enough steam. Also, he's not on the ballot.
Well, yeah, he's not running for president. So like, why are we even talking about it?
But yeah, that's just something I repeat that again, because I think not all of our, we've got some overlap, but you know, if you're a listener of this show, but not the other one, I think that that's a really important point and something to keep in mind when you're seeing that dialogue online.
He is someone who is a narcissist and also has other mental health issues, and is not I don't think he's even capable of really understanding why it's a bad idea to do what he's doing.
I don't either.
We just shouldn't talk about it more.
Yeah, there's a lot of exacerbating behaviors and things why give oxygen to that conversation?
Yeah, talking about this conversation of the election, you know, and I've seen people online being like, well, we don't like Joe Biden, you know.
so let's try Kanye.
You know, and especially using the argument of like, well, Joe Biden has clearly deteriorating mentally, and it's tricky. It's a tricky conversation to have online, that one, because I understand where they're coming from. I also am not a doctor to diagnose.
Well,
Joe Biden.
Also, they're like, that is going to, I mean, speaking of the worst year ever, this is all stuff that was going to happen anyway, but it's happening more and more people are saying it. The cognitive stuff, that's going to be a thing. You know, like last year we did that Some More News episode about how Joe Biden, if he wanted to like save the soul of the country, could like run as a Republican and sort of save the Republican Party from itself and move them a little towards the center and recalibrate. In that, talking about how like it's just going to be constantly debating like, your mind is going. No, your mind is going. You touch women inappropriately. No, you do. And that sort of back and forth. And we are seeing that. They're both commenting on each other's cognitive abilities now.
Yeah, I know.
They're doing
it. I love it.
It's It's awful.
Which of the clearly sick old men is the least clearly sick?
Let's
give him control of a nuclear arsenal.
Unreal. And like both just like leaning into it. It's like, I took a cognitive test. I think Joe should take a cognitive test. And Joe's like, well, actually, I'll take a test against him any day. And it's just already so exhausting.
I will say this. I obviously am not a Joe Biden fan. And I think he's got anger issues, temperamental problems. He might be in some sort of cognitive decline. I think it's a dangerous thing for us to talk about, especially for the things that you guys are saying right here. I'm not somebody that's up here saying we can't hold him to task. I think that stigmatizing people immediately as having dementia or something like that, and we don't have things that are...
No, what we should stigmatize is allowing people who are part of a category of the population for whom that is a real concern, we should stigmatize them running for the highest office in the nation.
Yeah,
the issue isn't Joe Biden or Donald Trump's individual health. It's the fact that it's the norm for people who are fucking 80 to...
Yeah,
Be the president.
Yes, it's the fact that this is even a conversation. Not only that we like people have in the discourse, but that both of the candidates are engaging in.
Yeah,
it's going to get worse and worse, and they're going to keep talking about it.
To age cap shit at like 65 at for the president.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean I'm agreeing with you, and I think that's why I say this, because especially as we start to see these conversations more and more, like we already are, like, no, you're the one that's like losing their mind. No, you're the one, you know, it's like grounding it in something a bit more productive, at least long term.
Well, yeah, all these conversations that we've had about like Joe Biden and Donald Trump and all the discourse around it how it's getting worse, and like there's a responsible way to talk about it and so on and so forth. It is like just like the problem that people often point out that is like kind of lost, and like you're helping Trump or you're helping Biden or like whatever it is. It's that we're in the situation at all. That's mm-hmm. the real problem, that we are in this situation and that it's like become a normal thing that we just are like, well, that's just how it is. This is our nation.
You know, Cody, hearing all that makes me think of the lines of a wonderful Lee Greenwood song. Because I am proud to be an American, where at least I know I am free to spread a plague to strangers, because I don't want to be mildly uncomfortable.
So
I haven't heard that one.
I feel like there's a more poetic way to say that.
And I won't forget the men who set up a sniper's nest on the roof of a public building to defend my right to not have plywood singed. And I will proudly fire riot control rounds into the skulls of fucking 20-year-olds with boomboxes next to you and defend her. Okay, I'm done with the Lee Greenwood bit.
Sorry. It's great. I love listening to that whenever they played at ball games that used to exist.
Cool. That seems like a really good spot to take our next ad break. Ooh, I need a break for ads.
Ooh.
I have that bumper sticker. I break for ads.
Welcome. We'll get through together or not.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
And we're back again from that ad break. Cool. Well rested and ready for whatever Cody's about to throw at us now. Cody.
I am furious at Starburst candy.
Oh, good.
What?
Something.
Yeah.
We need to
buy
Starburst and flush it down the toilet. No, so we're going to talk about Biden a little bit. I didn't even intend to talk about the other stuff we just talked about. It organically came up because of, I guess, the Kanye of it all. But it's like a little election update, right? There obviously aren't really a lot of rallies going on. There's not a lot of there's no real like outwardly facing like it's an election year. The election is kind of in the background. It's always this sort of like white noise just humming like it's coming. There's election problems, but things are happening a little bit, I guess. Biden still has not chosen a running mate.
I hope it's me.
That'll happen. I hope it's you too.
I think it might be. I think
I'm interested in your random violence platform.
Oh, very pro. We're going to have that. Yeah. My only promise as vice president is a sniper on the roof of every public building in this country. Just shooting at random.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. America first at snipers everywhere. Randomly. Snipers. Randomly.
America first targets. I don't know. Please continue. Mm-hmm.
There's work to be done on the messaging, good to know that you're not wavering on that.
America first in randomly placed snipers.
Exactly. : law and order, : if things are fine. And will continue to be even better. So we have talked on the show briefly, a little. We mentioned when it was going on, there was that the task force to bring the Bernie wing of the party and the Biden wing of the party together in perfect harmony to take on the guy, you know. And that task force has released a many-page document with their recommendations that they've come up with. And so there's a little bit, I don't want to get into too many details because I think that people are going to be ultimately disappointed. And also, like, other people are going to be like, that's not so bad. They're pushing them left a little bit. There is no Medicare for all. There's no Green New Deal kind of stuff like that. It focused a lot on like granular stuff and like, you know, defending the ACA, raising minimum wage, things like that. And one thing I think is important to note about it, too, Like a lot of people in the Bernie wing were kind of disappointed. Even in articles about it, people on the task force saying, like, you know, it didn't have everything that we wanted, didn't have everything that Biden wanted. But as Bernie points out, there's no question that on some of the major issues facing this country, if that agenda is implemented, life will improve for tens and tens of millions of working people. So it is, you know, trying to frame it as it's pushing it left, but also it is recommendations. I'm not saying it's nothing, but the campaign hasn't, like, committed to doing anything on it. They have committed to reviewing the recommendations, right? So it's not actually like, look at the platform, they're going to do all this stuff. It was Biden and Bernie people getting together and putting together things that they hope Biden does.
Right.
But again, doesn't include banning fracking, doesn't include, like, you know, a lot of, like, Biden is very against legalizing marijuana still, things like that. One thing I did kind of want to point out in there, though, but again, this isn't the platform. This is taking things into consideration. But one of the things they talk about is what they think Democrats need to do with the FCC. Very clear language about net neutrality. And reversing all of the things that Trump has done in regards to net neutrality. But also, Democrats will take action to prevent states from blocking municipalities and rural co-ops from building publicly owned broadband networks and increase federal support for municipal broadband. Basically, like, everybody should have the internet. We were, like, even talking earlier when we're talking about the problem with schooling. One of the problems that a lot of kids have with doing, like, do school from home. Not everybody has great internet access or internet access at all, or access to this kind of service and what should be a public utility, right? So I don't know. That's something to be like, hey, if they do that, that's good. But again, it's not necessarily things that they're going to implement. A quote from one of the folks on the task force is, we did not have any impressions that we were going to turn Joe Biden into Bernie Sanders. That was not going to happen. That did not happen. We don't expect Biden to be Bernie Sanders, although he has recently released an ad with the message and phrasing that it's not about him, it's about us, which I find interesting. He continues to talk about how healthcare is a human right, while not proposing policies that would make it a human right. Like, if not everybody had the right to vote, I wouldn't say, like, well, I think voting is a right, so I think here's a way that you can pay for your vote. That's not what rights are. So there is still a disconnect there. It feels in the background because we are in a pandemic, but I think pushing on things like Medicare for All are still really important to do.
This headline that I'm seeing right now on New York Times, 5.4 million Americans lost health insurance during the pandemic.
It's going to be a lot of,
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's the really frustrating, one of the more frustrating things in talking about this kind of stuff, where it's like, okay, yeah, they're moving on this, and they think this, and they're recommending this. But if you're not just saying, like, we're doing this Medicare for All plan. Everyone should have health care. Everyone, every single person in America should be able to go to the doctor. End of story. Because health care is a human right. If we're not doing that, especially now, what are we doing? We're tying health care to employment still. We're protecting private insurance still. We're even more, like, merging, like, personal life with work life. Like, that's an interesting thing that we're going to see more of as this pandemic continues. Like, we as a society put so much importance on our jobs. Like, we are our job in a lot of ways. And now we're all working from home. A lot of people are working from home. And that is going to be a continuing thing. Like, that's just policy for a lot of companies now in general. And so you're forcing work into your home space permanently now. So we're slowly moving towards that relationship between, like, well, you are your job and your job is how you get healthcare and all these things. We're pushing more, even more towards that, in a way that I don't think we're necessarily ready for. I don't know. I just don't like the idea of like, oh yeah, we're all working from home now. We wake up and you're home, but you're also at work. It's always in your mind now. And I don't think that's necessarily a healthy thing to do. But anyway, it's not about him. It's about us and so on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit demoralizing. It's hard. At the end of the day, I mean, I've waffled on this, but a bit on this show and our shows because it's a bitter pill to swallow, but I'm going to vote for Biden, I guess. I mean, I guess I don't have to here in California.
Just, right, you don't.
But it's tough. I keep coming back to hoping to continue having these conversations. Yes, we need to be calling out this bullshit and pointing out the things like healthcare is a human right. Okay, then we need to give it to people. Look at all these people that lost their health insurance. Let's do that. But I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I am not going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm going to do my best to keep him out of office another 4 years because it would ruin us.
just keep pushing and don't like let, I don't know, like there's, it's easy to let the aesthetics of like moving left or like we're a progressive or more progressive than FDR. But politics don't happen in a vacuum. Aesthetics aren't policy. Aesthetics aren't what people actually believe. And a lot of what Biden seems to be doing is aesthetics because he's also reaching out to, you know, like Republicans. That's part of his whole thing is like, we got to get the moderate Republicans on our side too. So if you're trying to please everybody, what are you like, what's your actual plan? But on the other hand, like there is also this thing I wanted to, there's something about Biden that's, it's the transition from just being very frustrated with this and, to like the reality of like we're in an election, it's Trump or this fucking guy. The reflexive like defense of Biden when Republicans criticize him in a way of like, no, you don't get to do this. You don't get to play. Sorry. Like the other day.
What do you mean?
I mean like Sean Hannity tweeted like some video. Like, you know, I think like Joe has misspoken quite a bit, and there are some times I'm like, oh Joe, just like, what are you doing, bud? But he shared some videos like Joe Biden said woked, like people were woked. He said the word wrong. And it was like a huge thing for like half a day. And it was just like, shut up, leave Joe Biden alone. And just like that sort of reflexive, like coming to his defense, because what you're criticizing him for is nonsense, as opposed to this other stuff that I think is substantial and worth continuing to hold on to and push
both
him
of
on.
Those things can coexist. You'd be like, well, that's not a reason to criticize him. Have you seen the president speak? However,
right. Well, right.
Here
that's
are the important things
now,
that we should be talking about.
Just like whenever anyone's like,
guys.
Look at him talk. It's like, look at your president. Shut up. Go away. You can only criticize Joe Biden for reasons like that if you also think Donald Trump is a moron who shouldn't be the president. That's the rule.
Yeah, that gets to a lot of my issues with, I don't know. It's just like, it's incredibly frustrating when people bring up valid critiques of Joe Biden as a reason not to vote for him. That like, but also the person who would win who's not Joe Biden is guilty of all of those same things, but much worse.
And worse, exactly.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with Hillary Clinton, where it's like she suffered more for voting for the Iraq war than George W. Bush or any Republican ever will, which doesn't mean that it was okay that she voted for the Iraq war, but it's fucking wild that like of all of the people in American politics to actually pay a price for it, it was fucking Hillary Clinton and not like any. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, W at the ball game with Ellen, but yeah, it was canceled. Yeah.
Yeah, fucking incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, and that perspective, like it's just important to maintain that perspective and like be aware and like I'm so, cuz the discourse is going to change too, cuz during the primary, you're trying to choose the best person who represents the things that you want. And so those criticisms from the left or during a Democratic primary, I think, are valid and worth discussing. But in the context of against Donald Trump, maybe less so.
Before we end this hodgepodge episode, Robert, why don't you give us a couple updates from Portland outside of the sniper situation?
Yeah, you know.
Enemy of America, Portland.
Yeah, the, you know, the, the good. So Portland is, you know, we had this uprising that started 6 weeks or so ago, and kind of everywhere was involved. And now a lot of places still have regular marches, but Portland's really the only city that's like has continuously been in a state of uprising. Like most nights since this started, there's been like a riot or a civil disturbance. There's been and now the feds have gotten involved, and they have been on Saturday. They rioted in just an unbelievably brutal way. They like at one point, like a homeless man, two different actually people started seizuring because of the tear gas. There's like video of U.S. Marshals like kneeling on this guy and holding his body down as he seizes, which is the thing you don't do when someone has a seizure. And they know that because they all have basic life-saving medical training. Like they knew what they were doing. There was another point at which like a kid was standing in the park playing music on the boombox, and they shot him from 30 feet away in the head with a rubber bullet and shattered his skull and permanently changed his life. He's in the hospital now. He very nearly died. They shot him right in the fucking head. There's video of it. He was holding a boombox. They shot him in the fucking head from 30 feet away.
Fuck.
Because these people aren't cops. These are the kind of people.
Well, right.
Like,
they're.
Yeah. Like the whole, like, guiding, the like, literally the entire guiding motive force of my career and life since I was in Mosul was like, because when I went to Iraq and watched them level that city, watch the same kind of men who shot that kid from 30 feet away. Like, those are the people who burnt Mosul to the fucking ground to drive ISIS out. Ever since then, it has been my overriding goal to try to stop that from happening to other cities, particularly to cities in America, because that's where I know how to affect things. And like that's the situation that we're in right now, is the president has basically said, like, these are the guys I'm sending in. I'm going to let them beat the shit out of people for a night or two. And if you all want to continue what you're doing, you know, I will let them off the fucking leash. Like, that's the promise that's being made here.
He literally said, take over. He said, take over.
Yeah. Like, your fucking city government, your state government doesn't matter. And I think people on the ground are starting to get that, to understand that at the very least, we should maybe not be prodding them constantly at their courthouse where they have a defensible position set up, that they're using the building as a weapon. Last night was weird. I was out last night and they fucking stayed inside the whole time. Like, I spent a huge chunk of the night watching, teenage boys like karate kicking a courthouse and like throwing like just to try to force federal marshals out to shoot at them. It was very strange. And it was like at the same time as this was all happening, at least for an example of something wonderful that started to happening for about the last week, there's been a guy who set up a rib restaurant in the park outside of the federal courthouse.
Yes.
It's called Riot Ribs, and it's amazing.
Yes!
And he's like a black dude in his 40s, and he'll just be out there all night and all day in a bulletproof vest cooking ribs for people. And all the ribs are free, everything's free, like it's a mutual aid sort of situation. People donate to keep it going. Donovan Farley, who's another local journalist, on one of the nights when, like, we were all running from the cops and they charged out, was like defended the rib shack with his body and his press pass. Like, you won't, no.
Don't take our ribs.
Yeah. Riot Ribs is fucking incredible.
You can take our lives, but you'll never take our ribs, and so on.
Yeah. At one point last night, the protesters who were out in between the federal courthouse and the Justice Center were lighting random fires. And we all started to be afraid that, like, the cops were going to come in. And it was just like, I was standing in line for ribs, and like this, one protester just kind of like walked up to Riot Ribs and was like, "Hey guys, people are starting random fires, so we might wind up having cops real soon, just like as a heads up."
yep.
So, Riot Ribs is good. That's one of the things that's given me some hope in all this, is that like the in the face of something that's really fucking terrifying, it hasn't made anyone in Portland give up. So I think they're going to have to shoot a bunch of people dead in the street to have a chance of stopping the nightly protests in Portland. And I think they'll do that.
I think they will do that
eventually.
The president has no qualms about people doing that. And the people who are going to do that don't have any qualms about doing that.
No, and the unit that has been sent to Portland, one of the units, is the PACT Force, which is like a multi-agency, but like run by Homeland Security. It's like protecting America's cities and whatever. It's a federal law enforcement unit made up of sociopathic special forces veterans whose entire job and life purpose is breaking human bodies, that they're sending to streets to deal with 17-year-old kids who charred some plywood. It's the thing that I've been trying to warn people about, and it could happen here. It's like the thing that has been like screaming in the back of my head for 3 years and change now. Like that it's here. It's here, and it's a nationwide problem. And I don't know how to stop it at this point. Getting Trump out of office will help, but most of what it will do is buy us a year or two to figure out how to actually stop this country from falling off of
completely
a fucking
cliff. Falling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is where the stakes are. This is an annihilation question.
It's some of the footage is just unbelievable, and they're all like it's interesting still to me, the Department of Homeland Security doing all these things. They turn 18 this year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're finally an adult.
I'm excited for when they get to drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. They have a few more years left. It's wild. I mean, yeah, you have been talking about this. This is the culmination, not the culmination of your work, but like it's a nightmare come true. It's one of those things where you're like, you do not have any satisfaction in seeing yourself being right, I would imagine.
No. I really didn't want to be right. I really, really fucking didn't want to be right because I've watched a city die.
Yeah.
And I don't want to watch another city die.
Should have called it. It could happen here, but it shouldn't.
But I would like, prefer it did not.
Yeah. So you're going to have to tonight?
Though. I don't know about tonight. I might. It kind of depends on the Portland press corps, who again has responded magnificently to this. Whatever the fuck you want to call it. We've got a pretty good job of setting up shifts.
Yeah. Good.
I was out with friends just like trying to have a night of sanity on Saturday when the feds rioted. And, you know, one of the great local journalists, Garrison, was like, hey, we could use some more people on the ground. And thankfully, other people volunteered. And I had this moment of being like, well, I'm going to let Garrison and the others handle it. And Garrison's 17. So I guess I got to finally have that wonderful human experience of being like, yeah, I'll let the teenager go get shot at for me.
I'm feeling really old today.
Tonight I'm gonna let a 17-year-old take the fucking, and he got shot with a grenade that night, thankfully in the backpack. So, and it didn't quite ignite his backpack, but it would have if other people hadn't stopped it. Shout out to Garrison, Hungry Bowtie on Twitter. He's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Really, really took a turn immediately with that grenade.
Yeah.
I know. I guess that does it for us today on that uplifting note.
Yeah. Make sure to brush your teeth with beans.
Yeah, brush everything with beans. Mm-hmm. However many beans there are in your house, there's
Wipe
not
your butt
enough
with
beans.
Them too.
Wipe everything with beans. Look, if you're using beans for everything, then soon all barriers between beans and the rest of the world will become so blurred that you exist in nothing but a continuum of beans that is everlasting and unchanging. Isn't that what this country's about?
Yeah. You really do make it seem like beans are the magical fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people are saying that, Katie. A lot of
people
are
saying
that.
Yeah.
You guys can check us out online at Worst Year Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for sitting through this hodgepodge episode. Hopefully you learned something. Hopefully you had a laugh or two. And that's what I got to say.
Mm-hmm. You can follow Katie at Katie Stoll on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow Cody at Dr. Mr. Cody on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow Robert on Twitter, not Instagram, at I Write OK.
And Sophie is Why Sophie Why.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Not really.
It's true.
You'll hear
from
us next week.
We'll hear each other. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of you, like, theoretically, there's got to be one or two people with synesthesia who listen to us. So you will see us next
week. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is The Color Blue, signing out.
Appreciate and love you all.
I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.